I'd like you to open up your Bible to 2 Chronicles 6. When you found your place in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 34, go ahead and stand with me for the reading of the Word. Poor Miss Anna's going to hear this message twice. She was in the college on Friday, and the pastor asked me to preach a message in the college. I was joyed to preach this message. And so if I get it wrong, just let me know later, okay? I'm sure she'll be okay. But let's do this. Let's go ahead and do some reading. And I want you to keep in mind the thought of revival as we go through this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 34, the Bible says, "If thy people go out to war against their enemies, by the way that they shall that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto the land afar off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive and pray towards their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, and toward their city, which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee." I want you to think about this. That's not even the text verse. I'm just laying a little bit of groundwork right there. During the revival, during the Great Southwest Bible Conference, he talked about the revival, and he talked about intercessory prayer. And what's happening here is, David obviously couldn't build the temple, and his son Solomon was allowed to build the temple, and he's finishing that process, and he's getting to where he's dedicating the temple. He's getting close to opening the doors, so to speak. Okay? And he has a bunch of people that he's very aware that are sinning, and once in a while will drift away and go back. And we see that throughout all of time. You'll see that he talks about into captivity. I just want to let you know, when we drift away from God and go into sin, we go into captivity. Even though we're not physically bound, you're in captivity. And when you're in captivity, you're not very useful to God. He wants you to cry out to Him. So we're going to go a little further in this. Jump down to chapter 7 with me. Jump down to chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever." You realize that they realized that God was answering prayer. And jump down to look at verse 11 in the same chapter, chapter 7 and verse 11. And you'll see it says, "Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night." This is key. "And the Lord appeared unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people." This is our text verse tonight. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I put it to you tonight that revival happens in one man's heart. But there's something here that God points out very clearly. He's answering Solomon's prayer. He's telling him exactly how the people should operate. And I'd like you to follow along with me as we go through this, but let's break this verse down in 2 Chronicles 7:14. This, by the way, became my life verse in college, and I realized what it was saying to me. It says, "If my people, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Sounds to me like there's four things that God has asked us to do before he does something that he says he's going to do. And I would like to do a couple of things to help you understand that. We're going to start at the top. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. God has got me in a situation where I'm starting to look up words in the Bible. I've read them 100 times now. And he says, I want you to look this word up. Look up the word humble. And I looked up the word humble, and do you know what it says? The word humble says to abase, or to be abased, to be made low. Now, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, would you agree that to be Christian people? Okay. In the Old Testament, we realize those were God's people. They weren't necessarily saved by Christ at the time that they were aware of, but we all get saved the same way. Okay, we're all God's people if you're saved. And so he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. And I'm going to do a little example here. I've asked Ian to join me up here, if you don't mind. I said I'm a defensive tactics instructor. So I want you to think about this. Come over here on this side. Okay? I want you to think about this. God is asking us to humble ourselves. And in defensive tactics, when we train law enforcement officers, one of the things we do is we teach them to help people understand pain compliance. Okay? Hey, am I right? Okay. Now, I don't necessarily have to inflict pain on someone unless they don't want to do what I want them to do. Okay? Now, he's such a gracious host. He's going to help me out here. So, in law enforcement, we have what we call a bent wrist lock. Okay? And basically, the elbow is something that we lock in place and we bend the wrist. Bent wrist lock, right? Okay? Now, I could probably, in pain, make him do anything. So I could say to him, put your hand on your head. I can say to him, put your hand on your head. And here's what happens. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. And you see, I say, put your hand on your head. Put your hand on your head. Okay. You okay there? All right. So listen, here's what's happening. God says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Put your hand on your head. Now, I didn't put any pain on him at all at this point. He's humbling himself. There's a difference between me forcing him to do it. Go ahead and take your hand out. Okay. Do you know, though, in law enforcement, when we do this bent wrist lock, we also do a digital control with his fingers. So I can bend his fingers all kinds of different directions, and he'll do whatever. So are you in any pain right now? No. Okay? So he's not hurting at all. This is a position that we would be in as long as he's willing to be humble. You see, God is willing to allow me to humble myself. Put your hand on your head. And if he does that, we get along just fine in law enforcement. Does that make sense? Okay, if he doesn't do it, go ahead and take your hand down. Put your hand on your head. If he doesn't do it, put your hand on your head. Okay? I can make him jump, right? Jump. Okay? Walk over here, right? You can do all kinds of things. Okay? So go ahead and have a chair. Thank you. Alright, so think about this for a second. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. First thing that has to happen in a revival is a young man, a young lady, old man, old lady, whatever, we have to, in ourselves, we have to humble ourselves. This verse right here made me realize some things in my life. He says, if you will humble yourself. So I'm going to ask you some questions. I like to ask a lot of questions. Number one is this. Will you humble yourself? Listen, our country right now is in need of people, men and women, that will stand up for the gospel and stand up for the word of God and stand up for the things that are going wrong and say, that's just not right. But God isn't going to bring us to that point of having the revival until one man says, I'm going to humble myself. So will you humble yourself? Number two, here's the second point. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Let me ask you a question. Will you pray? And when you pray, how do you pray? Okay? Thank you, Lord, for the food. Let's eat. Right? That's a prayer. Okay? But is that what he's talking about? No, that's not what he's talking about at all. You see, Solomon, if you look at the passage right before that, Solomon spent a good bit of time in prayer. Saying, hey, if my people, if they would come back from their sin. He's asking God questions. Let me ask you this. Have you ever read a book that was so good that you just lost track of time? You had no idea where you were or who you were, maybe? Have you ever watched a movie? I'm not promoting movies, but there's some good things out there. Okay? I don't recommend you go to the theater to watch them, but there's some good things you could probably pick up. But have you ever been so engulfed in a movie or so engulfed in something, a book, that you just lost track of time? Okay? Have you ever thought about what that would be like if you were so engulfed in a moment of prayer that you had no idea what was around you? You had no idea the noise that was going on in the auditorium? I can tell you of a time when I remember being on the altar there at Trinity Baptist Church. I didn't know anything was there. I didn't even know where my wife was. I didn't even care. I was in such a state. I mean, I did care. Don't get me wrong, baby. We've been married 32 years, so praise the Lord. But with that being said, I didn't know anything. I was in such a deep state of prayer that I was connecting with God. You know, we've said, get in that state of prayer and get God on the phone like that in a conversation. Carry him with you all day long. Okay? Have you ever been in a situation where you just were engulfed? We were over at the Combs' house, and what a great host he is. And Oliver's sitting on the couch and he's reading. He was sitting in the chair when I came in and he was reading. And then he moved over to the couch and he was reading. You were in that book, weren't you? It was good, wasn't it? You didn't care if anybody was there. You didn't care who was walking around. You see, we can get that way in a state of prayer. The Bible says, if you'll humble yourself and you'll get to the point where you're in that state, you just, nothing cares, but you're in prayer with God. Can you imagine what he would tell you? Have you ever thought about what it would be like to have God speak to you in a way that you had no idea even existed? I'm not talking, I get it, he doesn't audibly talk to us like he did in the Old Testament. But listen, some of my best conversations with God were when I had no idea what was around me. There's one thing I like about Idaho City, I'll give this to you. I sit out and it snows coming down. That's that white stuff that falls out of the air. Okay, I know we don't have that down here much, but it's going to snow 4 feet up there. And we're living in a camp trailer right now, just so you are aware of that. We are living in a camp trailer and I'm going to sit on the edge of this and I'm going to watch the snow come down. And I'm going to be in a state where you can hear the snow hitting the ground. I know Brother Combs has heard this, snowfall. When you hear that and you're in such a private state and you're in prayer with God, he talks to people on the mountain, I tell you. He'll speak to you, and when you're in that state, he says, but you have to humble yourself. Notice this is kind of in an order. Number one, humble myself. Number two, pray. So the second question is, will you pray? I said, will you humble yourself? Will you pray? The next thing he says, and seek my face. Now, just a quick question. How do you seek God's face? Okay, he's not physically on this earth right now that we can see him. He's in every one of us if you're saved. Okay, and Jesus did come and walk on this earth. But how do you seek God's face? Well, the Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and that's capitalized, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I wonder how much time we spend in our Bible seeking his face. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you got to do this much or that much, but how much time do you spend reading the Bible? And God has put something on my heart. I borrowed it from Trinity Baptist Church. It's a sheet that just helps me read through the Bible in a year. I got to where I was behind. I started reading, and I started reading more and more, and this is part of the call to the ministry. I was reading 10, 20 chapters a day just to get caught up where I was. Long story short, for about 7 years now, I've been reading through the Bible 2.5 to 3 times a year. And I don't use the card to do that, not to check it off. That's just reading, okay? That doesn't include personal time that I would be studying for a message. That doesn't include time that I'll prepare for a Sunday school lesson. That's just me wanting to spend time with his face. You see, I'm just going to tell you a little story. My dad left when I was 3 months old. And one of the biggest things I realized is I just wanted to spend time with him face to face. And I didn't get that. And I have an opportunity now to spend time with my God face to face. And he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You see, how much time do you spend seeking his face? And don't answer that personally. If it's less than what you think it should be, just increase it. It's no big deal. Just add it a little more time. Well, I don't have any more time. Get up earlier. Okay? I watched Pastor Lassiter at Trinity Baptist Church come to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and be there at 10 in the morning and still in the same prayer time, still in the same personal time that he had. And that personal time, do you spend that kind of time with God every day, seeking his face? You see, I desire that kind of time. I still am not there yet. I'm working on it. But will you seek his face? Here's the next one. The Bible says, number one, he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Number two, and pray. And number three, and seek my face. And number four, turn from their wicked ways. This one's hard. This one's difficult because every one of us have wicked ways. It don't matter how old you are in here. If you're older, younger, we We all have wicked ways. We call that sin in our life. Bible is very clear that God says, if you will humble yourself, okay? Do you know that when you make yourself low and you reach the point of prayer and you're in that state where nothing else matters and then you're seeking God's face, do you know He's going to tell you what's wrong with you? He's going to tell you, I need you to clean this up, young man, right? Not you personally, okay? Yeah, I just want you to know He's going to tell you there's some wicked things in your life. And you may think they're perfectly fine. You may think it's perfectly okay. And you say, well, I'm good, right? That's what we hear all the kids say up there. I'm good. No, you're not. Listen, we all have sin. We're all sinners, okay? And the sooner we acknowledge that we're sinners and that we are causing grief for God, the better we will be in revival process. He says, will you turn from your wicked ways? I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to imagine whatever your wicked way is. The Bible says there's a sin that so easily besets us. Okay? I won't use anybody personal because this could be an example that could be hurtful in your heart. But listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just trying to help you visualize something for real. I want you to, everyone in here, to imagine whatever sin is in your life that you hate. You know it's in there. You hate it. You dislike the fact that it happens and you do it and you're like, oh, I just, okay? Everybody got it? I want you to visualize something. Jesus is lashed to a post. He's stripped naked and he's standing there and they have this scourge. This scourge has got a wooden handle on it. It's got about 9 or 10 straps. They might call it a cat of nine tails. And at the end of these leather straps, there's some bone shard and there's some glass, and pottery, rocks, whatever. And the Roman soldiers lashing Jesus. Okay? He's laying these stripes on Jesus' back. And it's hooking in his side, and he just yanks it off, and the meat rips off of the side of his body. Sorry to be so graphic. But I want you to visualize that sin. And can I use you an example? You don't have to get up. No. Just your name is all I need. Okay? Dad? Ron? Okay, can I use you, Ron, as an example? Okay? Ron, I want you to imagine that sin that you have in your life. No matter what it is, it doesn't make any difference. And I want you to realize now you're the Roman soldier laying those stripes on Jesus. And he says to you, he says, Ron, when you're done whipping me with your sin, he says, I'm going to love you anyway. You see, Jesus wants us, God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. He knows everything about us. He says, if you will humble yourself and if you will pray and if you will seek my face and if you will turn from your wicked ways. You see, you should take that example on your own and apply it in your life. If you're willing to turn from your wicked ways, there's something glorious that happens next. He says, then. He says, then. He says, then. Now, Brother Combs is a teacher, an educator, and he's going to tell you if then has a reaction to it. If, then. That means that you have to physically make a choice. The Bible is very clear when it says, if my people, then. You see, if we're willing, revival is only going to happen in your heart when you realize that, oh, I'm kind of off of where I should be. And it's nothing that anybody else needs to know. It's just a personal statement. And once I realized that in my life and I realized, okay, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then, guess what? The Bible says, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I call this healing a nation is what this message is called. You see, He will heal our land. He will do things for us, but He needs us to do something first. Okay? Salvation is free. Salvation is something you don't have to do ever anything on your own to earn it. But He says for you to move into that level of consecration, to sanctify yourself through this process, He said, I need you to change some things in your life. And this wickedness that we have in our life, this sin that's in our life, is one of the worst. We're going to wind this down. I want you to turn to Psalm 78. Running out of time here. Brother Combs took all my time. Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is all about in and out, in and out, in and out, over and over of captivity. Psalm 78. Psalm 78, turn there with me to verse 38. I've got one more question for you. And we're going to read a little bit here, Psalm 78, verse 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, it says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Here's the last question I want to ask you. Look at verse 41. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. What could God do in this world, in this country today, if one man would stop limiting the Holy One of Israel? Again, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will forgive their sin and heal their land.